flesh in my hands in forever. I know there is hope in these waters, but I can't bring myself to swim when I am drowning in this silence. Baby, let me in. Go easy, help me, baby. I was still a child, didn't get the chance to feel. When we are both so deeply stuck in our ways, you can't deny how hard I've tried. I changed who I was to put you both first, but now I give up. Go easy, help me, baby.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network, and welcome to Take Point 22 with Karen Arnold and myself. And of course, we are always here. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667, 803-866-1667. You can call in, give us your opinion. All we ask is no cussing, no swearing. Otherwise, we got to boot you. Anyway, we broadcast live all over the world. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. We'll show you how easy it is. So if you have a podcast idea or anything else, just let us know. We'd love to help you get started. We enjoy it. We have a wonderful family here. And we keep this very family-oriented. We are a Christian-type-based radio station, which I really, really enjoy telling people that. Because you know what? You don't see any of that garbage on here. But we're very close, all of us. And we have so many great shows. We have over 11 shows. So a lot of wonderful shows. So come on over, check out our apparel and merchandise, because it's top notch. And we wouldn't mind having and seeing you sport it around for us. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. Also, we expressly deny and don't claim any type of responsibility whatsoever that could cause you any financial or any type of harm. Anyway, without further ado, that song right there, that was Easy on Me by Adele, and that's covered under our BMI music license. 6-105-1658. Karen, how are you? It has been a long time.
I'm doing good. It has been a long time between sicknesses and taking care of my mom, and I've missed everybody.
Yeah, we've missed you. Trust me. We've missed you too. So, you know, but we knew you had a lot going on. So, you know, taking care of a parent is not an easy thing to do. I do that. So it's kind of a hard thing to do. But you know what? We do what we have to do.
That's right.
And we're thankful for it. So, you know, I mean, that's one of the great things too, is that it's a blessing. So, you know, mom is 88.
For years, my mom and dad, you know, they raised me well, and they did so much for me that it's my turn to give back to them.
And it is, and it's a blessing. Sometimes it can be trying a little bit, but overall, I've enjoyed a great, great part of my life around my mother, and gotten to see a lot of things, and she has too. And we get on each other's nerves here and there, but you know what? That's all good. That's what family does. So,
yes, they do.
We have a lot going on. So the elections are now done. And I'll tell you what, Congress is now going to be, it looks like, in the hands of Republicans. And I can't say that that hurts my feelings, because it does not. The Senate is still in control of the Democrats. And of course, well, let's not talk about the other, but
have you seen the and listened to, I don't know his first name, it's Fetterman, and he's in one of the northern states. He won, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what are we doing? He's very rough around the edges.
Well, I'll tell you what the country's doing. The country is voting in a bunch of putzes. And that's exactly what's happening. And they're not thinking about this. They've lost their moral, you know, way. And we're voting in people that really have no business being in office. They're there for a paycheck. They don't care about us. They don't care about you and I. Understand, they care about themselves. If you haven't seen it...
Shocking, though, that Arizona went Democratic and not Republican, because they've been a red state for years and years.
Well, I think people are, you know what, I hate to say this, as much as Trump did well for the country in a lot of things, he had one flaw, and he speaks through it, his mouth. It's
yeah,
you know, and that's the one bad thing. You know, he's like a pit viper when it comes to that, and a little kid. He can't control himself, and it just spews out, and it takes away all the good that he did. And that's the problem. Just think about it. If you went back in time and you didn't, and this guy did everything that he did in the time that he was president, and not said the things that he said or lashed out at people, he'd still be the president today. There'd be no doubt in my mind. But the fact of the matter is, he can't control himself, and he can't seem to do that. And that's the sad part, because really, he's the better president of what we got now. So, you know, I mean, no offense, but this guy is, he's a commander-in-chief, and we have to respect him, and I understand that and everything else, but he's a putz. I mean... It's just not good. And I mean, it's just not good. And the country is in this whirling, hurricane-type swirling, going down the drain deal, and they don't see it. And they're not voting like it. And they're like, oh, okay, well, it's all beyond his control. No, it's not. And that's the problem. I mean... Everything is not the fault of the Ukraine war. It's, you know, and all the different things that have been made excuses. And then, you know, one second is, well, you know, I have no control over gas prices. And then when they come down, I got the gas prices down. Well, how does that work?
Right.
That's like extra virgin olive oil. How does that work? And it's frustrating to see. And we have some long-timers that need to get out of office. Nancy Pelosi is one of them. Your time is done. Get out. Done. Quit. Go. Please, don't plague us anymore. It's the same thing with McConnell. It's time for you to go. You know, get out.
Oh, God.
I mean, we just have too many of them that have just ridden their ripe old years taking money and making money off of the American people instead of helping the American people. And they don't care. And if you don't think it's not true, look at all the things that they've done. They're all questionable things, you know. I mean,
I know.
Well, it is. And I mean, it's questionable, and you see the favors and everything else. Oh, yeah, they're, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. In South Carolina, if you got pulled over for a DUI, first of all, you're going to lose your license for 6 months. No questions asked. You're done. Okay. You're going to be, you know, you better go to a rehab. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to have to earn it back, and you're going to pay big fines. How is it somebody gets a little breathalyzer thing put in their car and that's it? And you don't hear any more about it. I mean, there's a lot of just questionable is I guess the proper way to say, how does that work? You know, I mean.
Well, with you or I, my God, we'd be put away for life. So many people are like, get off on easy sentencing and go right back out and do the same thing again.
And that's the thing, you know. Plus, not to mention, how many times didn't they get caught before, you know? And, you know, that's the bigger question is, how many times before have we driven around drunk, you know? And we saw this with Kennedy a long time ago, you know, God rest his soul, but, you know, there was a girl killed in a drinking accident. Whatever happened with that, you know? Another favor there. You know, I mean,
right.
It's amazing how they don't have to answer for anything. And the sad part is, we put them in that position. It's whose fault? The American people's fault. Because really, they should be answering the questions. They should be, you know, held accountable. But we've made it to where it's impossible. And
lots of times there are very few things that get me riled up. And I have my list of things, you know, that I think is grossly wrong. But I'll tell you, there is, I don't think anything's going to become of this, but Benghazi and our withdrawal from Afghanistan, I feel like someone should be held accountable. But I don't think that's ever going to happen.
It won't. It's never going to happen. And you have to understand that a lot of things that are happening today, these people are trying to make moral decisions for the American people and have the American people now questioning themselves. There is no more God. There is no more, you know, any type of religious and moral compass that people follow anymore. It's very few and far in between. And even when you have that, they decide what is proper and what is not, instead of deciding what is God's word. And that's the sad part about it, is that we have, what would we have done? Think about it. Abortions have been around since when? 1940s, I'm guessing?
I think so. Well,
that's a good question to ask. So you go into something like that, and of course it's a very sensitive subject for many. But let's go in, let's take a look, and let's ask that question. So let's get here and say, we're gonna look it up. (Clears throat) Oh, here we go. And maybe it's longer. The deliberate termination of pregnancy has been known since ancient times, it says, various methods and everything else. Herbs, sharpened implements, but really it's 20th century. Now here's the problem that I have, okay? It was wrong then. How has that changed, you know, in God's eyes? And that's my question. And I've heard a lot of people one way or the other, and I understand. Well, what do you do about rape? What do you do about incest? What do you do? And what makes those babies any less special than other babies? Or, you know what I'm saying?
But right.
If it didn't happen at all, then you don't have to worry about it, right? I mean, how do we accept that, okay, bad things happen, but we don't want to accept that. We want to do something about it. And I think that's where we lose our moral compass. That's where we lose the things going on, is that we say, okay, well, this is okay, but this is not okay. And we've done this in everything. It's not just that, but it's in everything. And we do this. People do it with money every day. They're greedy. And people are callous. And they're not very forgiving. They have no empathy. There's no sympathy anymore. And then they want an answer. Oh, by God. You know, we have criminals out there that have committed crimes over and over and over and over again. And then when they kill somebody, the first thing that they bring up if they're facing the death penalty is, well, his childhood was traumatic. Guess what? A lot of peoples in America are traumatic, and they're not going out and killing people.
That's right.
And the last I checked, thou shalt not kill. Simple. And so who do we blame then? Then we go after the gun. You get that? We go after the gun. And we try to make this big case about the gun. And yet we see people getting killed with knives. We see people getting killed with hammers. Hammers seem to be a big one. I mean, it's any kind of weapon. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, thou shalt not kill. But we're going to focus on that, and we'll scare the American people and anybody else about crime rates. But most of the crimes that happen to be in the states with pretty high legislative anti-gun laws and laws that were there. And they have just recently gotten shot down by the Supreme Court on a lot of different things. You have the right to bear arms. I'm sorry, that's how this country was born. It's what the Constitution says. It is what it is. So, you know, now we want to change it. Now we want to do this. Oh, we're going to do this. And of course, if they don't like what the Supreme Court says now, well, then the president and the Congress and the other ones, well, we're going to do something about it. Well, then what was the point of going to the Supreme Court to begin with? They make a decision on law, whether it's a law or, you know, it's legal or it's not legal. That's their job. That's what they do. They interpret law. And now Congress and the Senate, before it goes to the president, they're the ones who make law, okay? So you can't change the Constitution, you know. There's no need to change the Constitution. It was a well-written, perfectly articulated document, and they're going to do it, which is extremely frustrating to me.
It's a little scary, actually, that I think that it's very possible that something that I grew up thinking would never change, and it's a little scary and know that it's a real possibility.
It's ridiculous. This country's priorities are so out of whack. That's our problem. Our priorities are so out of whack. Instead of taking care of the mess that we have here, we want to take care of everyone else in the world to make ourselves look good, to glorify ourselves. Ah, we're the great United States. And yet, we can't fix the border problem. We can't fix the drug problem. We can't fix anything because there's been no effort, no honest effort whatsoever of them wanting to do it. They talk a great game. Well, they're politicians. They're speakers. That's what they are. They're professional BSers. That's what they are.
That's right.
And the rest of America has to see it. And then people are like, well, you know, I'm woke. You're woke. What does that mean? What is woke today? You know, I'm woke to everything going on. That's not woke. Okay? You're not even awakened. You are in a deep slumber. Rip Van Winkle would be jealous. Okay? Fix your country first.
Well, you know, I find, Mike, that people nowadays will use anything not to take responsibility for their behavior. I think people know they're doing wrong and they pull up all these things that the reasons why, and they'll tell you anything to make it seem like it's okay.
It's everybody else's fault but mine. That's what this world's turned into. That's what this country's turned into. That's not my fault. We've got people that won't work. You know, prime example is, I want to tell you, so the weekend, Sherry and I took Diesel for dog training. I'm getting Diesel trained to be a comfort dog.
Oh.
To help combat my anxiety and, you know, depression and help me with my bipolar. We go over to a McDonald's. And we're both we decided after we went to the drive-thru, we were waiting at the drive-thru, which I'm not a big fast food person, but, you know, we had to get something to eat and because
right.
we knew we were going to be doing the training, so we were kind of time crunch there. There's three employees in the back. They're all cooking a smoke out back, or a blunt, one of the two. Sherry might be right. She said probably a blunt, but they're out back. We have waited at the drive-thru. Nobody answered us. No, nobody even acknowledged us. So we drove around. We decided to go inside. We go inside. The manager is eating at a table. Okay. Now, this is right before 11 o'clock. The manager's eating at the table. So we're going to order breakfast, and breakfast goes to 11 o'clock, and they threw it all out. And we're proud that they threw it out. So we're looking like, okay, we're facing lunch. So the manager is telling two of the girls to do something, and the two employees are arguing with the manager. I'm not doing that. This is a waste of gas for me to come in here. And I'm thinking to myself, this is today's workforce. This is why we have the problems we have. He's bragging that he's created however many 100,000 jobs or whatever it is, whatever that figure was. Oh, I've done great. This is what we're working with. They're like little kids. They're like little children. They have no responsibility. They want everything given to them. They're spoiled, and they're bratty, and it's embarrassing. So I looked at her, and I said, I really don't want to eat this food because, well, to me, it's just not worth it. I don't want to take that chance. So then we drove to another fast food, you know, that was closer to the place, our designated destination, and their screen was out, and she's like, what would you like to have to eat? And I said, the screen's black. Oh, yeah, we know. Well, how can people even choose off of the menu if the screen is already darked out because it's broken? So we have owners that aren't doing, and this is a chain restaurant. It was Hardee's. So, you know, we had to drive around and go inside there, and again, I was feeling, oh, my God, this is just how it is everywhere. There's no more service for people. There's no more respect or kindness or anything else. When you go in somewhere, they're indignant. They act like you owe them something. Like they're doing you a favor for purchasing their product. I mean, it's like, wow, man.
Well, last week I was helping get my mom packed because she's visiting my sister in South Carolina. And I had a whole list of prescriptions she needed. The doctor, you know, wrote the prescriptions out, and I told my mom and my sister, I said, look, I'll be right back. I'm just going to turn these in, and I'll be right back. And I'm just go to the drive-thru. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Now there's a car, two cars in front of me, two cars behind me. I can't go anywhere. I sat in that line because, of course, my mom needed the medications, so I couldn't, like, I'll just come tomorrow. Because they were leaving at, like, 9 in the morning. So I sat and waited 45 minutes. And I called the store from the car because I can't go anywhere. And I said, you know, what's the holdup? I'm thinking, like, is there something wrong inside? Like, are they being held up or something? Oh, no, they're having trouble with this COVID test. And I'm like, look, I've been waiting out here to turn prescriptions in. It's going on 45 minutes. I mean, are we going to, like, tell the guy to park and, you know, they'll call you when you get the answer to what they're looking for? Or like, no one's going to have the...
Or come inside.
Oh, it was backed up inside, you know, there were tons of people waiting. I'm like, this is not good business. And when I called to speak to the manager, of course, she was outside smoking a cigarette. And this is when I got home, and I wanted to make a complaint. And, of course, I left my number, but she's not called me back.
Nor will you
it's
be.
It's like, no care for customer service whatsoever.
No, and they don't have it. And, I mean, it's the same thing online too. I mean, it's the same thing. It's getting to be that way everywhere. You know, just trying to make a payment on something. I had a password that wasn't working after I, you know, loaded the new computer and everything. So I call the company. Well, that's got to go over to customer service. You're over here. You get transferred over a bunch of times. You just want to talk to somebody and say, listen, let's go ahead and do this. Well, did you try the email? Yes, I did. And it says within a few minutes that I get an email and they take me to a reset thing. Except you don't get the email. Oh, well, we've been having a problem with that. Well, then what good is it? I mean, it's like, you know. And it's like that with everything. I had such a frustrating day just trying to take care of, like, stupid things. Stupid things. And here's a great one. Okay, so my mortgage company, I'm not going to even mention their name, but I'm going to tell you, my mortgage company I've been with for a long time.
I'm like, please, I hope it's not mine.
Anyway, when I hurt my foot, South Carolina was in a state considered to be a state of, you know, devastation due to COVID, due to the hurricane, you know, due to a couple of things. So still listed that way, you know, it was impacted. And so it's listed as that. So last year in July, after I hurt my foot, I called the mortgage company because I was having such a difficult time getting around, driving, walking, everything. I had not been feeling good. I was really dealing with a lot of my health issues. And I knew, okay, I'm going to be out of work here. Work is slow because it's never recovered from the COVID. And I applied for my disability. My Social Security disability. So I did a forbearance with them on the agreement because I checked with the VA, and the whole way it was set up was for veterans, you can go ahead, if you're in that area with those circumstances, the mortgage company would just tack it on to the end of the loan, which they discussed. Right. Recorded over the line, everything else. Yeah, we're just going to tack that on at the end of the loan. This is real simple. This is nothing. Okay, no problem. I was on there. I was asking questions. This isn't going to change my interest rate or anything. No. We put that option at the end of the loan, and you just resume your payments, and we extend that out. That's it. Now,
that's what they told?
It's exactly what they told me. And so I said, okay, I'll do this. And so I did it. Now, I've been ready to go since April to resume my loans, except for now they started asking me for information, filled out this whole packet, filled out a whole financial sheet, filled out everything for my taxes, everything from pay stubs, everything from bank accounts, everything else. wasn't easy at all. It's a pain in the butt. only to be told that, well, you know, we don't have to give you the same rate. So here I am. I've worked my butt off in order to get the 2.387 interest rate, and which is a fantastic rate, and I earned it, to where now they want to screw me and give me today's interest rate. You get that one? So
does that mortgage start with an S?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it does. I have been lied to completely, just mistreated in this whole thing. They have not been honest. They have not been forthright. And I called them out on it today, and I've let them have it. So I called the VA, got them involved. And as I'm talking to the VA representative, he is telling me, you're not the first person to have this problem. This guy alone had four people with the exact very similar things going through the same thing, told the same thing, and they're not honoring it. And I was like, well, what is the VA doing about it? Well, nothing. I could lose my job. I could, you know, so he's worried about losing his job. The VA is not holding them accountable, saying, listen, if this is what was promised and everything, we guarantee the loan, you need to deliver on it. So they're not holding up the end. They're not protecting the veteran at all. And I want all veterans out there to understand this. Do not get into these things with the mortgage companies. If at all, any way possible, you can make your loan, do not trust them. I'm just telling you, make your payment. Even if you go poor, make your payment. Because they are not there to help you at all.
You're working about this. What? I'm in the same process. I'm trying to get resuming the payment. And then, you know, I was told, well, there's three options, paid off all in one lump sum, extra monthly payments. And then you can just tack it on to the end. Like, it's so simple.
Yep. That's a lie.
So I did get a letter today stating that, oh, your application is incomplete, which is what I did it over the phone after I was told, oh, yeah, we can just do it. It's very simple. And now they're like, oh, you didn't finish the application. I'm not, I was going to be calling them tomorrow, but I'm a little worried now.
I'm going to tell you. And when and while talking with this guy, you know, and hearing this, I went and I kind of let him have it, too, because I was like, listen, I said, you guarantee him the loan. And he told me their best interest is to go ahead and let your home go into foreclosure. And I said, yeah, because they can write it off. So they'll write it off. That's a great write-off, especially in tough times like today, which we should have never been in. Thank you to our beautiful Congress and Senate and President, okay, that, you know, hey, you know, our country is in a crap hole. But anyway, they can write it off, and then what happens is the VA guarantees that loan. So then they get paid. So either way, they get paid. And then they'll dump money in, fix the house up, and sell it for a higher price. So now they're making money on both ends. You get that? In the meantime, they'll put veterans out on the street or make them have to look for new, you know, abodes, new homes, or whatever, a place to stay. They'll have to look for, you know, new shelter, which I think is absolutely egregious and just outrageous. It's callous. It was done. It was deceitful and deceptive. And I was just plain right on out lied to and irritated beyond all belief. And when I talked to the girl at, you know, the company, Freedom Mortgage, I said, I'm telling you, when you do this stuff and you do it for greed and you do this and you do this to veterans, I said that it's the equivalent, and I've said this a few times today, of if we ever got invaded, you'd want us to help protect you. You'd rely on the military or veterans to sit here and help protect you, And then say, hey, you know what? Great job, guys, for you know, saving us and everything else. Come on over for dinner, and we'll give you some good spoiled meat. And that's about how I felt. And it was just like the most ridiculous. And they can get away with it because nobody will hold them accountable. You have to love that.
There's a lot of that going around.
But they'll turn around and tell you, hey, listen, thank you for your service. And the words that want to come out of my mouth, you know, I'm taking a deep breath and thinking, how insulting. That's the cherry on the cake, you know. Insult to injury, where you sat here and you know that you are screwing me over and being deceptive and taking advantage of me, and then you want to say thank you for your service.
Right.
I mean, that's like Veterans Day. You know how many people I saw during Veterans Day going out just trying to grab some food and stuff like that? Hundreds of them. Excited. Because maybe they got a free cheeseburger or a free haircut or a discount or a voucher. And I'm thinking, you've got one leg or one arm, but here you go. Here's a free cheeseburger. I mean, I don't mean to sound like, you know, ungrateful, but at the same time,
where is the rest of the year?
You know? I mean, it just amazes me what active duty gives, what veterans give, or everybody else. And some of them still serve. Police officers, then they turn into ambulance drivers. And how much we have dogged them out to get treated just like that. And today that was just unbelievable. So either now I can accept this interest rate change, or I have to come up with a different plan now. You know, and whether it be another, you know,
any way of buying it, a different way.
Well, I'm looking at loans now, because I would rather pay 6% on a loan for, you know, a small amount than pay it for the entire lifetime of the loan. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So prime example, I you know, if you owe $174,000 on a house at 2.387 interest rate, great. And they want to change that because of maybe a $14,000 or $15,000 amount to 6%. Well, paying 6% on 174 is a big difference than paying 2.387 or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? It's a huge amount. You're not talking hundreds of dollars. You're talking thousands of dollars. Over $10,000. It's a huge, huge amount. So now I'm looking at another loan that, you know, will put me close at a budget now, if I can even get it, because I'd rather pay the smaller amount on of what I need only on that and not the house itself to pay them back.
Right.
When I shouldn't have had to do that to begin with, because that's not what I was told and that's not what I was promised. And before I even did this, I said, listen, I just want it tacked on to the end of the loan. Can we do that without changing my interest rate? Yes, we can do that. It's on recording. And every time I called into him, I reiterated that. I'm making sure that this doesn't change my interest rate. This doesn't change my loan. This just gets tacked on to the end and changes the end of date. You know, no problem. All the way through. Deceptive, deceptive, deceptive.
There was no safeguards for that, preventing that from happening.
No. And the VA is and the VA isn't holding them accountable. And they need to. And they know it's a problem, because there's multiple, multiple people that are dealing with the same problem. And, you know, he said, listen, and even named my company and said, they're a nightmare to deal with. He goes, because they've been doing this a lot. And it comes down to greed. And basically, he sent them off an email, and the email that came back is, we don't have to do that. And I thought, you sit here and present yourselves as these gladiators for the VA and for veterans and stuff, but if you think you can make a buck, you'll do it, even if it's at the veterans' expense.
Right.
That's... I mean, it's...
I mean, I think a lot of that going on.
Oh, there is. There's a ton of it going on. So if you're a veteran, you're having these similar problems, good luck. Until somebody files a class action lawsuit and, you know, brings it to light. And then what are you going to sue for? Because I guess there is no, if the VA is not enforcing it, or if they had a deal with the VA, they're not enforcing it. And they'll just turn around and say, we changed our policy. See, nobody gets held accountable. That's the problem. So they sit here and they talk about all these homeless veterans out there on the streets. Well, there's why. There's why. Can you imagine what it's like if these people are going over and they're serving and they're on deployment or whatever and their home's back there and they have to put it on hold or whatever else? They're going to come back to nothing. Guess what? Their home will not be theirs. To me, that's just, there's no way that they're going to be able to afford that.
Yeah, it's wrong. And
it's dirty.
I keep in my, you know, in my mind, sometimes I write things down, and you know, it comes to the point that I won't deal with people that do those things.
If I can get out of it now, I would. I would get out of it now. I mean, the way I look at it is that, but see, here's the thing. Okay, so let's say I can't afford the payment, so I don't sign for it, right? And so let's say the house goes into foreclosure. Here's the thing. It'll sit on the market. They'll get their money from the VA, okay? Then I have to wait until the house sells, okay, in order to get my VA eligibility back again. So the veteran has to wait until the house sells. So first of all, his house is going to go into foreclosure. They'll come in, sell it at a higher price, let it sit on the market. And the market's not great now anyway. They're taking a loss on it, so they'll go ahead and write that off. So it's no sweat off of their back, okay?
Right.
And then eventually when it does sell, then they inform the VA, and the VA says, oh, okay, well, we guaranteed his loan. We got the money back. You know, the house sold again. They have to give that money back then. Or, you know, his eligibility will be there. How exactly all that works must be some scientific thing. So I guess the VA guarantees the loan. They give the money to the loan company. The loan company gets paid for it, okay? They've written it off, but they get paid for it. So what happens is then when they sell the house, the VA really owns the house then at that point, okay? It would be the VA's house. So the VA then would fix it up or do whatever, sell it, make money on it, and then that veteran would get back his eligibility. Because they're basically probably just like a broker. They're just handling the loan part.
Right.
But if the VA is the one that's guaranteeing the loan, then it seems to me that the VA could hold them accountable. It could say, listen, no, if this is what you told him, you're servicing the loan, we're guaranteeing the loan, then no, you have to keep your word. Otherwise, we won't keep our word and you know, fund the loan.
Right.
So it's just as much the VA's responsibility as it is the mortgage company's responsibility. But they got this beautiful little deal going. It's a wonderful little like type scam. It's sickening. And the only one that it is going to affect is the veterans.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So be careful. I mean, just, you know, if they promised you one thing, make them follow through with it, you know? But good luck. I mean, more than likely, they're going to raise up your interest rate and turn around, and it's going to raise your payment, so you have to find out whether you can afford it or not. And hopefully, you know, all you can do is pray and everything, but hopefully you can afford it. I mean,
it's, get your cup going.
It's taken him 6 months to figure out that I was 100%, tax exempt on it to, you know, even acknowledge that in the taxes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I turned in that paperwork a long time ago, and now they're just putting it together. So, I mean, it's a very slow process, and you have to go to your county auditor if you're 100% and say, listen, I'm 100%, you know, and under the government rules, you know, I should be tax exempt on property tax of your home and your cars. And that's what you do. And you have up to two cars, and that's what you have. So it's in the, as a matter of fact, I have it right here, the federal benefits for veterans, dependents, and survivors. So, of course, I don't have my glasses on me, but...
State, I believe, of whether you're going to be tax-exempt or not.
Yeah, what happens is when you become... Okay, so like I had done multiple CNP examinations and everything else, you know, for what I have. And they decided, yes, it's never going to get better. It'll probably progressively get worse. So I am what they call static, to where there are no more examinations, you know, scheduled for me to look at what I have, because it's not going to get better. And I understand it. Now it's just a matter of living with it and, you know, dealing with it, because, you know, that's just how it is. But, and it does. It's impaired my work. It's impaired everything, because I do. I have a hard time focusing. I have a hard time with anxiety. I have a hard time remembering things. I mean, it really takes a lot. And by the time I'm done just working like, you know, an hour or two during the day, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm beat, exhausted. And mentally, I come home and I try to rest. I do go into panic attacks and different things, but they recognized that and you know, saw that. And I went to multiple counselors and did everything they asked me to do, and they know it's a problem. So I'm what they call static. And when you become 100% like that, then you have certain things that I didn't even know. And I'm trying to see, I'm looking in the book to see where it's at. Oh, and like I said, I don't have my glasses on. But I met the requirements that they had. It took me 8 years to get it. And anyway, I fall under this group. So the property taxes on my house or whatever, I'm tax exempt from that. So I thought, okay, my pay will go, you know, my mortgage will go down even more. And
right.
It's not going to happen, because I know I'm going to get pretty much hornsnoggled here. And I know it's coming. It's just the broken promises. And this is why veterans have high suicide rates. This is why veterans are homeless. This is why we have the problems. because what we receive that most of the civilians don't know are broken promises. Broken promises. And that's what it is. Where they'll turn around and they'll say, oh, we're going to give this to the veterans. And then they turn around 2 years later and say, oh, not us. We're not giving it to them. We're taking it back. Broken promises. Or they promise they're going to do something and then they don't do it. And they you know, Sherry got me my glasses. Thank you so much. I don't know what I would do without her because she's always helping me out. I mean, it's just, but in here, even in the veterans book, hey, veterans who believe they may be facing a homelessness as a result of losing their homes can call 1-877-4-8-VET. Okay. And they've got a number in here too. All right. They can't help you. They're not going to help you. I learned that today. He said, I wish I could do more. I can't help. But they should honor their word.
They should.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Karen, that's about all we have for our show. But I do want the veterans to, before you get into anything like that, you know, and I know you're going to go through hard times and there's no way around some things. Just be prepared to understand you're at their mercy, period. And today's world, just unfortunately, you can't count on people doing the right thing. It's a sad realization. And I'm living proof of it. So, I don't know. I would have rather have lost everything else. You know, think about it. My home of where my kids grew up and have been around and had so many memories and different things, you know. And who knows? So we'll see how it plays out. If it is, it wouldn't be the first time. I'm a big boy. You know, I'll figure something out, but shouldn't have to.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to.
And that's the problem. Shouldn't have to. But face value, trusting people's words just aren't good. And there's only one good word that I know of in this world, and it's the gospel, it's the Bible. It's the only good word that I know. It's the only one that you can count on. And I just feel that way. So, but this isn't our home. This isn't our place. We're pilgrims here on this planet, and better things ahead for us, at least for the ones who believe and follow. And I can only encourage you to do that. Love your neighbors as you love yourself, and do the right things and follow God's commandments and pray. And that's what I'm doing a lot of. So hopefully it'll all work out. We'll wait and see. I'll have more news as I go along, but I thought that was a pretty good amount of information to share with vets, just so you have a heads up. Anyway, I'll tell you what, Karen, join us next week. You missed a great show last week. It was too bad. Lee Collum was on, and Lee is absolutely wonderful. Golly, what a great guest. A lot of fun, but hopefully Karen will be back a little bit more and more. So she's
yep.
You will, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank goodness. Because we've missed you here. Well, let me know how yours works out too. I'm curious to know if you end up going through the same thing I'm going through.
Yeah, I'll have to let you know.
Yeah, we'll do that. What do you want to get out of here with? What kind of music?
I'll let you be the choice. I don't have like a. Well, I like that one we played at the intro, but we can't do that for the exit. So you choose one.
Let's see.
I trust you in your choices.
My choices, right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I haven't played in a long time. Let's see. And I won't even make it religious, guys, I promise. I won't. Here's a good one. Let's play a little Lily Rose. villain.
Ooh.
How about that?
Sounds good to me.
And we'll catch you guys next week on Take Point 22. And be good to one another. Love one another. This is a terrible, terrible world. It's a terrible place we're living in. But you know what? We got to make it work somehow. So, you know, the only thing we can do is try to do right. Do it with the moral compass. You know, go with God, go with Christ. And all I can tell you is do the best that you can do. So, and hopefully we'll get through. But we're out of here. Karen, much love to y'all and the family. And glad your mom is better. And husband and kids are doing well.
They are.
Good. Thank God. See, God is good, huh, girl?
It is. Very good.
All right. I'll see you next week. And God bless, folks. Have a great week. Don't forget tomorrow night is Stu Show, My World. Live, laugh, or whatever. And we'll see you then.
Yeah, I've heard things going round and round, running through this town like a two-lane. Yeah, I heard them say, I never loved you. Found someone new, gave up too soon, but that's half the truth. One point of view. You can be the hero, I can take the fall. If that's how your story goes, say it's all my fault. Whatever helps you sleep at night, yeah, you can make me the bad guy, make them all believe it. If that's how you're feeling, I can be the villain. Oh, 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 oh. Didn't have to be the way you made me play the part, the enemy. But they'll start to see that that ain't me. You can be the hero, I can take the fall. If that's how your story goes, say it's all my fault. Whatever helps you sleep at night, yeah, you can make me the bad guy, make them all believe it. If that's how you're feeling, I can be the villain. Oh, 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 oh. I can be the villain. Tried to make us work it out, but I couldn't save us. I couldn't save us. You can be the hero, I can take the fall. If that's how your story goes, say it's all my fault. Whatever helps you sleep at night, yeah, you can.